This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Hi, I'm Ryder Taff, portfolio manager at New Perspectives, a fee-only financial advisory and co-host of Money Talks. Each week, we take your personal finance questions and tell you about a money topic we hope you find helpful. Money Talks can be heard Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on MPB Think Radio. Podcasts can be found on our website, money.mpbonline.org, or on your smart device's podcasting platform.
Welcome to In Legal Terms from MPB Think Radio. It's the show all about you and your rights. Our host is usually Professor Richard Gershon of the University of Mississippi School of Law, who's out today. I'm Liz Gill. So it is primary election day in Mississippi. Polls are open until 7 p.m. And we're going to talk about voting today with our guest, Pauline Rogers, executive director and co-founder of the REACH Foundation, and that's spelled R-E-C-H. Now, I went ahead and went to the Secretary of State's website. Love that website, sos.ms.gov, and you can print out your primary election ballot. And man, is it skinny. For my district, the Democratic ballot has one person you can vote in the primary for president, and it has one person you could vote for Senate. And the Democrats are not putting up a House of Representatives in my district. In the Republican ballot, you vote for one, and it's got President Trump and I believe three other individuals that have withdrawn from the race, but there you go. And there for Senate, you could vote for Roger Wicker, Gannon Burton, or Dan Eubanks. And in my district, the incumbent Michael Guest is there, and there's also write-in. But so it's primary election day, and even though there's really not a choice, it is your right to vote. And we are so excited to have our guest, Pauline Rogers, the REACH Foundation, Reaching and Educating for Community Hope. Gosh, everybody needs community hope. The REACH Foundation is also participating in Empowering Tomorrow, seeking to motivate individuals to use their votes to shape a future that reflects their collective aspirations and values. Thanks for coming on to In Legal Terms, Ms. Rogers.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
I just love that mission statement. I mean, everybody wants hope, and everybody wants to have a future that, you know, is aspirational and reflects your values. Tell us a little bit about your background and the mission of the REACH Foundation.
Well, my background is I'm formerly incarcerated. And that is where the hub of the REACH Foundation was birthed from. While I was personally incarcerated myself, they're laying on the hard beds next to people who said they had made parole, but they couldn't leave because they didn't have a verifiable address. And I thought, well, that's crazy. How can you make parole and still be locked up? Well, it was true. And the lady that was there, Wendy Hatcher, that impacted my life while I was incarcerated, I thought, I'm going to do something about this problem, because all we birth with is ideas. We come here with ideas. And so I started to write it out on paper, and fast forwarding years later, that's where the work come from that I do, is to provide housing for women coming out of prison.
Well, and I think, necessity is the mother of invention. I think, you know, if you have a child who has an illness, you become an expert in
Absolutely.
That illness. Whenever someone comes upon a stumbling block, you need to take care of you.
Right.
And so how were some ways that you learned about voting rights and educated yourself so that you could educate others?
I grew up, voting was like washing your face, preparing a meal when I grew up. We talked about it around the dinner table, in church, in school. It was taught in school. Civic engagement was taught in school, so it was a part of our everyday life. And it was important while I was incarcerated, only to find out I couldn't vote while I was incarcerated. And I thought, well, why not? I'm doing what the judge said I should do, and that served my time. Why can't I vote? So I learned a valuable, hard lesson that in this country, incarceration is a game changer when it comes to civic engagement, democracy, and voting.
And you've educated yourself, and you're using this foundation as a way to educate others. Tell us about some of the groups that you speak with to talk about voting rights.
Formerly incarcerated groups, civic engagement groups, churches, clubs, other organizations, you name it, individuals, law schools. Been to Ole Miss, talking to law students. So all over, anywhere there's an invite, we speak.
So you talked about voting was, just part of your everyday makeup. That's what you did when it was election day, you went and voted. So if an individual isn't registered to vote, what would you suggest they do?
First, they need to find out if they're eligible. That's the crucial part, because it's against the law if you vote and you're not eligible. To find out if you're eligible, you can easily check that by going to the Secretary of State's website. And once you find out that you're eligible and it's confirmed, proceed to the second step, which is completing a voter registration form. You can do this in person at the circuit clerk's office or the municipal clerk's office, or a public servants agency like the Department of the Highway Department. You can go there to do it. And you can also opt in for a mail-in registration application, but you have to make sure that it's done 30 days before the upcoming election to ensure that the registration is processed in time. And you got to keep in mind, for the mail-in registration, the forms must be postmarked at least 30 days before the scheduled election to complete the process. And you need a valid ID. You got to have a valid ID to register. And to do the application, all you got to submit is your birthday or the last four of your Social Security.
Yeah, it doesn't look like with this election there's going to be a runoff.
Right.
And if you're not registered to vote, unfortunately, you can't vote today. But you have until, what is it,
October
7th.
Yep.
To get registered for the November 5th election, which will be our general election for president and for one Senate seat and all four of the state representative seats.
Right. I like to tell people no time is too late to register to vote. Even if you miss one election, you still get in. You get in the game.
Yeah, you think, if I can't vote today, I'll go register. But if you keep putting it off, you're never going to get ahead of the ball. So what do people talk to you and say, I don't need to vote, I don't need to register?
I hear it all the time. And I tell people what you do when you do that and you don't participate, you're surrendering your right. It's like giving away a part of you. Every single time you do it, you're giving away a piece of you or a piece of your children or a piece of your family. And after a while, you find out you have nothing. There's nothing left.
Well, we're gonna change some minds today.
Yeah.
Hey, you can send us an email with your questions to our address, legalterms@mpbonline.org. We're discussing voting on this election day with guest Pauline Rogers, executive director and co-founder of the REACH Foundation. So what do you need to bring with you to vote? We're going to talk about that next. You're listening to In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio. This is In Legal Terms. Not everybody has a chance to listen to our show live. So if you miss any of our program, you can listen to the whole thing on our website, inlegalterms.mpbonline.org. Our host is usually Professor Richard Gershon from the University of Mississippi School of Law. He's out today. I'm Liz Gill. So when you go to the polls today, or anytime you go to vote, what types of ID can be used on Election Day? So this is from the Secretary of State's website. It's that great website. They have tons of information, sos.ms.gov. So You could use a driver's license, and that includes that new digital ID provided by the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. You could use a photo ID card that is issued by a branch department or entity of the state of Mississippi, a U.S. passport, a government employee ID card, a firearms license. So if you've got one of those, you could do it. A student photo ID issued by an accredited Mississippi University College or community junior college. Your U.S. military ID. So if you're in the military, that'll work. A tribal photo ID. So all the folks on tribal lands. Any other photo ID that's issued by any branch, department, agency, or entity of the U.S. government or any state government, or you can get a Mississippi voter identification card. So if you don't have a acceptable form of ID, if a registered voter doesn't have one of these forms of photo ID, a free Mississippi voter identification card will be provided at no cost to the voter at any circuit clerk's office in Mississippi. So applications for a card can be made during their normal business hours from 8 to 5. You can just call this phone number for information. It's 1-844-MS-VOTER. Now, if your ID is expired, you can use an expired photo ID as long as it's an acceptable form of photo ID and it's not more than 10 years old. The expired ID must contain the name and the photograph of the voter and have been issued by the federal or state government. So remember, if you don't have a card, it is free to get one. You have to be a registered voter in Mississippi. You can go to the circuit clerk's office. You have to present a form of acceptable identification. And the Secretary of State's office says even if you don't have a form of identification, the clerk may verify your birth information free of charge if you provide your date of birth, the state where you were born, and your mother's maiden name. So you just complete and sign the voter ID application, and assistance will be provided if you request it. You have your picture taken, and the voter ID card will be mailed to you. And I think they even give you a ride there if you don't have a ride to get a voter ID. So we don't want this to stand in anybody's way of exercising your right to vote. That's what we're talking about today, voting rights, because it's primary election day in Mississippi. Polls are open until 7 p.m., and our guest is Pauline Rogers, Executive Director and co-founder of the REACH Foundation. I just love that, REACH, reaching and educating for community hope. So what are your goals?
My goals is to ensure that people formerly incarcerated in particular are registered to vote. And I also believe that every person, if you are of age, it is our duty and responsibility to vote. And if people who want to know why they should vote, freedom holds many, many meanings. And one crucial aspect is the political power exercised through the ballot box. The disenfranchisement of individuals in prison and those with conviction histories directly undermines the rightful political influence of communities of color. This loss of power is particularly significant in communities that have a history of marginalization and neglect. If there are two things that politicians listen to, it's money and it's votes. Voting serves as the universal language of democracy. And it goes beyond merely electing government officials. It is a means of expressing the needs, preferences, and satisfaction or dissatisfaction of a community. Essentially, voting communicates how individuals wish to be represented by their government. And despite the significance, voting is sometimes perceived as a mundane task with little impact on daily life, which is not true. It should be as fundamental and basic as self-care routines, like brushing your teeth, washing your face. Viewing voting as a navigating tool emphasizes the role of guiding individuals through life's complexities. When you don't use your voice through voting, somebody else is using it when they vote.
I love that. I love that. And yeah, you think about, I don't want to brush my teeth. But if you talk to anybody, old person, they always say, I wish I'd taken better care of your teeth. Mm-hmm. And you voting, that's how our country, you know, was founded.
Yes, sir, it was founded.
So you're using the REACH Foundation to try to get this information out. Your website mentioned that you were planning some virtual town hall events. Have you? What are your plans for that?
The main goal of Empower Tomorrow is a voting campaign, and it's to have a better today. The people today to have a better tomorrow. And the first and main priority is to educate. Individuals who are entering back into society after being incarcerated are not often aware of the possibility of participating in an election. So these town halls, virtual town halls, will be done with groups like we are members with Clergy for Prison Reform, a group of clergy reformers here in the state, the National Baptist Convention USA Criminal Justice Commission, to develop ways to get people engaged in participating. And we're planning to host multiple of those. In fact, in June, the National Baptist will be meeting in Memphis, Tennessee, and on April, I don't recall those days, but I think it's maybe April 4th and 5th or 1st and 2nd, that Clergy for Prison Reform will be having a day over at Mount Ham Baptist Church.
Excellent. So if an organization wanted to partner with you to participate in letting their members know about the importance of voting, they could contact the REACH Foundation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We welcome it every day, even beyond today's like today, which is an election day. We do this every single day. We drive around with voting applications in our vehicle just because it's that serious. And partnering with other people makes it even more valuable. People like Mississippi Votes, who stay on top of the issue. One Voice, they stay on top of the issue. And other organizations, the Poor People's, the People's Advocacy Institute and the Mississippi Poor People's Campaign, they stay on top of these issues. And the Mississippi Center for Reentry Coalition, which we will be at the state capitol on the 14th of this month. So we will be engaging everybody. And it doesn't matter what your political party is. We want you registered to vote.
Abram, our nanny, our engineer, is also one of our podcast producers. And man, he gets tired of me, but I just try to put as much information on our podcast and on our website where folks can link to get more information. And we'll have that link to their website is reachfoundationms.org, and that's R-E-C-H, REACH, Reaching and Educating for Community Hope. So when you are... when you're having these discussions with maybe pastors or the pastors who speak to incarcerated or formerly incarcerated people, what are some of the messages that you do tell the people who had been incarcerated about voting?
That it's their civic duty, just like washing your face. It's a duty and a responsibility. And if you are like classified in this country as a citizen of the USA, you have a citizen's duty and responsibility like you do stopping at a red light. It's a duty and a responsibility. You're not going to be made to do it. You got to know it's the right thing to do. Step up to the plate and do it. You know you have to eat. Nobody makes you eat when you're hungry, but you do it because you are. And it's the same with voting. You do it because it's going to make life better, not only for you, but for those around you. And know you don't get everything that you want on the table, but you vote because you know that your voice will make a change somewhere in some policy, some piece of legislation, some person that you believe is best suited to address the issues that most concern you.
And, you know, under the Mississippi Constitution, people convicted of 10 specific felonies, including bribery, theft, and arson, lose the right to vote. Under a previous state attorney general, the list was expanded to 22 crimes, including timber larceny, felling and stealing trees from somebody else's property, and carjacking. To have their voting rights restored, people convicted of any of the crimes must get a pardon from the governor or persuade lawmakers to pass individual bills just for them with two-thirds approval. Lawmakers in recent years have passed a few of those bills, and they passed none last year. That's a lot to overcome.
A lot. It's perpetual punishment. And in this country, you cannot call a person a citizen if they don't have access to all of the citizens' rights under the Constitution. So we really need to be called something else other than a citizen. But according to the Constitution, if you are a citizen, you have the right to vote. But in some states, Mississippi being one, you don't have that right. And right, Mississippi, there are 22 crimes that disenfranchise Mississippi residents from voting. And it's like you said, in 2005, the Attorney General added 11 new crimes. We have the highest percentage of black residents in the country at nearly 39%. And voter turnout in 2020 election, Mississippi was about 60%, the sixth worst in the country. So it's important that we get registered, utilize our right to vote, and then participate. Rain, sleet, or snow, we're going to eat. Rain, sleet, or snow, we need to be voting. And Mississippi has an extreme felony disenfranchisement law, lifetime ban. But that we do have a win that, you know, the legislators this session has approved the suffrage bill, I think it was this past Thursday that they announced it. So that's a win, but we got to do better. And doing better is if you're 18 and you're eligible to get registered, start today.
Man, we would love to take your questions or comments on our topic. We're talking about voting today. You can email us with your questions. Our address is legalterms@mpbonline.org. We're talking with Pauline Rogers, Executive Director and co-founder of the REACH Foundation, about voting. What if you run into problems at the polls? Your name isn't on the voter roll or you forgot your ID? I'll tell you about that next. You're listening to In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio. You're listening to In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio. Professor Richard Gershon is usually our expert host. He's out today. I'm Liz Gill. We do hope you'll subscribe to our podcast, or you can find MPB Think Radio recordings on the website mpbonline.org/radio. So what happens if you show up at the voting booth and you can't vote? If a voter's name does not appear in the poll book, or if you don't have an acceptable form of ID, you are entitled to vote by an affidavit ballot. So a voter who doesn't present a photo ID because of a religious objection is entitled to have their ballot counted if they complete an affidavit of religious objection in the circuit clerk's office within 5 business days after the election. And a voter who didn't present your photo ID, you're entitled to have your ballot counted if you present a photo ID in the circuit clerk's office within 5 business days after the election. These affidavit ballots, provisional ballots, are counted 5 business days after the election. We're talking about voting today because it's election day. It's the day each of the two parties is having a primary. We're voting for president. We're voting for one of our Senate seats. and for each of the four U.S. House of Representatives. And I'm so pleased our guest today is Pauline Rogers, Executive Director and co-founder of the REACH Foundation. You mentioned again at the beginning, but our listeners come and go. So maybe some folks weren't listening at the very beginning of our show. Your partners is formerly incarcerated, convicted people and families movement. Tell us again why that's important to you specifically.
Well, FICPFM, that's what it stands for, formerly incarcerated and convicted people and families movement. I'm a product of that. First and foremost, I'm one of them. I'm formerly incarcerated, and it holds personal significance for me because it's led by us, those who have the experience. And we experience the challenges, and I strongly believe that those are closest to the problem are often closest to the solutions, but yet farthest away from the resources and the opportunities. But I'm thankful for this opportunity to share our experience and what makes us the expert in these areas. And my first-second experience within the system provided insights into the flaws, enabling me to advocate for others in similar situations where they're still incarcerated, or transitioning out. And for individuals coming back into society, their primary concern typically revolve around securing employment, stable housing, jobs, no focus on civic engagement. So we got to break down the barriers for them, formerly incarcerated, because the goal is making the voting process possible, recognizing that the immediate priorities for individuals in this transition differ from the traditional civic engagement concern. So that's why we do it with FICPFM, because the situation and circumstances are different, and we want people to be engaged.
Does the REACH Foundation, ever go into prisons and speak with prisoners about voting while they're still incarcerated?
Absolutely. Have been doing it. I got out one day and went back in and became a volunteer the next day. And so I've been going into the prison over nearing four decades of going back in, because it's important. When they see that you are true to who you were when you were there and about doing something about the problem. So it's uplifting for them. So I do it on a daily basis. I don't go into prison daily. I talk to somebody from the prison every day, but I do go into prison frequently.
So educate me. If someone is in prison but they haven't committed one of the 22... expanded crimes, can you vote from prison?
That's a challenge and a barrier. Now, we had a sheriff, I'll just quickly talk about Sheriff McMillan, who was the longest serving sheriff in the region before he passed away. Sheriff McMillan made significant strides in voter registration within every jail under his jurisdiction. He actively worked to create opportunities for incarcerated individuals to exercise their right to vote. His commitment to civic engagement extended beyond law enforcement, emphasizing the importance of engaging in the democratic process and participating within the correctional facilities. So it's an example of why voting matters, because staff is short in prison. They don't get to have the opportunities. So many of the challenges faced voting from jail is costly, and it's impossible undertaking. It's widespread obstacles for jails to participate in this. But people that were committed like McMillan can make it possible, because in jail to register to vote, you have to have the staff. They're already short staff. You have to have a notary in there to notarize paperwork. You have to have a system set up and space available. They don't have that. So the barriers in prison make it difficult. And the ones that usually get the vote are the ones that make the loudest noise. And that's usually one or two. It's not the majority.
And, a lot of the people in prison, I guess, they may not even know that they're allowed to vote.
Right. So we keep that in the forefront. We ask them every time we go to prison, regardless of the reason that we go, we always ask of the eligibility, what's the crime? Of course, we have access to the website where we can look up the crime. The majority of there are ineligible, but there are some that are eligible that would like to, but the system doesn't make it easy for them, and they come up with excuses. Or if a staff member is not there for you to address it to, you don't get to participate. So the barriers are significant.
Well, and I'm glad we have this program, because hopefully if someone is incarcerated, maybe they have a family member who is listening and can hear or could advocate for them. So is voting absentee by mail, is that a possibility for people who are incarcerated?
It's a possibility, but again, Sheriff McMillan, and I have to keep talking about him, was one that saw to the process to the end, because you have to have a notary there. You have to have paperwork notarized. Then they have to pay a fee, and if you don't have money on your books to pay for the fee, whatever that fee may be, or if it's a simple stamp. Stamp is a challenge. Paper is a challenge. An envelope is a challenge. So if you don't have all of those things lined up, you don't. And the sheriffs, we've had sheriffs since McMillan who don't share the same passion for increasing civic engagement in prisons, leading to a lack of participation. When you have sheriffs, and we've had three, I believe, sheriffs since McMillan. One was totally, and I won't call his name, but one was totally against, you know, participating in, oh, they don't want to do that. And that wasn't true. He didn't want to do it. And it would require more time, more logistics, and he just didn't do it. But it is very necessary, and I wish that we would understand that there's this misconceived notion that everybody that's incarcerated are Democrats, and they're going to vote Democrat. And that's not true.
It's not true that only Democrats commit crimes.
Right. There are heated debates when it comes to politics that go on inside prison among the ineligible voters that have strong opinions why one president versus the other one should or should not be the president. So they're missing some valuable votes by not allowing the incarcerated and formerly incarcerated to utilize the right to vote.
Well, and I would think, I guess there's the philosophy, is prison, is it punishment or is it rehabilitation? And if you're going for the rehabilitation, this is a fabulous teaching moment.
Absolutely. But if you're going for punishment, let's find a way to keep our feet on their neck.
Which is what Mississippi has done, and it's been disproportionate for the people who have committed crimes to not be able to vote.
Right. We, in addition to our Empower Tomorrow campaign, we have an Uncuff the Vote. And Uncuff the Vote is you got our hands tied. We can't check the ballot if you don't allow us to vote. I've been out of prison personally going on 4 decades, never recidivized, and have our record with our organization is over 35 years with zero recidivism. This is after people that have completed the program and have been out 3 consecutive years. None of them have ever gone back to prison. But we overlook that because somebody wants to be or feel that they have to have the success of us, but nobody wants to take the failure of us.
Well, I'm so excited that we've got this program. We're going to get a little bit more into the REACH Foundation. We take your questions on our email address, legalterms@mpbonline.org. We're talking about voting because it's voting day. It's election day. Our guest is Pauline Rogers, Executive Director and co-founder of the REACH Foundation, R-E-C-H. So what if you have trouble voting on election day? Get your pen ready or the note app on your phone, and I'll tell you what you can do next. This is In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio. Thank you for being part of In Legal Terms today. If you've missed any of our program, you can listen to the whole show on the MPB Think Radio YouTube channel. It's also available on the MPB Public Media app, as are our local shows. Our host is usually Professor Richard Gershon from the University of Mississippi School of Law, but he's out today. I'm Liz Gill. At 11 a.m. Central on Tuesdays, following our over-the-air broadcast, you can hear Southern Remedies Relatively Speaking with Dr. Susan Buttress on MPB Think Radio. So, you're going to vote today because it's Election Day, but if you have a problem at the polls today or on any Election Day, you can call the League of Women Voters. They have a number, 1-866-OUR-VOTE. So if you've got that paper and pen, or you've got the note app on your phone, that phone number is 1-866-687-8683. The League of Women Voters, we've had them on the show before. We've got a podcast. I didn't look it up. It's in the past 12 months. Their website, vote411.org/Mississippi, is a great resource for voter information. We've had ACLU Mississippi on. They've got a great website, the Know Your Rights, Voting Rights page. And, hey, you can file an election complaint if you have trouble voting. Some of the issues might be, I was not able to cast my ballot in private. I was not allowed an opportunity to verify my selections before casting my ballot. I was not allowed to vote a regular ballot or a provisional ballot. I was not able to determine whether my provisional ballot was counted. I was not provided assistance to accommodate my disability. I was not provided assistance in my own language. I requested a ballot in my own language but was not provided with one. Required posted information was not publicly posted on Election Day, or poll workers did not follow unverified voter verification procedure. And then, of course, there's an other. But there's a PDF for that on the Secretary of State's website. Man, Abram, we're going to have the hyperlinks on this show so we can have all of this information. I think we're limited to 8,000 characters or something, so I'm going to have the hyperlinks.
Yeah, you always push it to the limit.
I know. Well, you're driving in your car, you're going to Kroger, you're going to Dollar General, and you think, oh, wait, what did she say? I can't write it down. But so I always want to have all this information on the MPB Public Media app, on the website, on the podcast. So if you go, oh, wait a second, Liz said this, so I know where to go and get it. We are talking today with Pauline Rogers, Executive Director and co-founder of the REACH Foundation. And remember, that's REACH, R-E-C-H, Reaching and Educating for Community Hope. Their website is reachfoundationms.org. So, Pauline, you are speaking from experience, and you are advocating for voting from experience. Tell us how you're putting that all in place with the REACH Foundation. What does that look like, your organization look like, day to day, week to week, and month to month here in Mississippi?
Day to day, week to week is taking phone calls, listening to problems, listening to childhood unresolved issues on a day-to-day basis, and going in advocating for issues with the cause every day with, I want to see my child. I haven't talked to my child. I haven't talked to my grandma. And making calls and checking in on them and making sure that they can be at a stable place in order to get to a more stabilized place. And getting to a more stabilized place is what democracy does. And that's what Empower Tomorrow is committed to do. That's what our partnership is with FICPFM and the Quest for Democracy, focused on inspiring widespread civic engagement across all 82 counties and in all the prison. And our mission is clear: to ensure that every individual comprehends the transformative power of their vote and actively participate in the democratic process. So whatever it takes to get a person to that place, we do it. And when people come out of prison, sometimes ID is the ultimate thing. And what we have to do sometimes is literally take people to the homeless clinic to create a health record in order to start the process to get an ID. And so we start that simple to get to the place of they are at the ballot, at the precinct, and they are able to vote. Because Mississippi is an extreme place with felony disenfranchisement law, with rights taken away permanently, with little resources for restoration. So whatever we can provide by way of resources to restore a person to that is what we do on a day-to-day basis.
Well, we got an email on our email account, legalterms@mpbonline.org, and he got it in before the end of the show. It's T. Pauline, this is a hard one. My question is, what difference would it make if none of my candidates' names are on the voting ballot? Am I still supposed to vote? Thank you.
Absolutely. It's like your children. We don't agree with our siblings. We don't agree with everything they do, but you vote for the one who's least likely to perform the task that you left at home in the best way. And you do that with the same way with the candidates that are on the ballot. You vote for the best one based on the issues that are of concern to you, and you give it your best shot. If they didn't, you missed it. We win some, we lose some. We miss some, we gain some. So it's a hit and miss, but you don't not participate. It's like water. We drink it because we need it. We don't like it, but we have to have it, whether it's Dasani, whether it's Equate, whatever the brand may be, it's still water, and it's necessary.
And I guess part two in the higher level is, if you don't like the candidates, educate yourself and run yourself.
Absolutely. That's even better.
First, let's get everybody registered.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So even though today is Election Day, remember, if the polls are open till 7 o'clock, if you're in line at 7, you can still vote. That's always a good thing to keep in mind. We had that problem in November when there was some shortage of ballots around the state. If you're in line at 7, you're still able to vote and, you know, get your vote counted. And today, March 12th, 2024, is our primary election day for president, for one of our Senate seats, for each of our House districts. And if you're not registered, you have until October 7th. That's the day to get registered for the November 5th general election. Okay, so Pauline, somebody moved to the area and needs to change their voter registration, or they've never voted. What's the first baby step?
The same process with the application, just changing the address. You fill out you use the same application, but you're just changing the information. You're changing locations. If you got a copy of or consent a copy of your old voter registration card, that would be fine, but it's not necessary. And you send it in the circuit clerk's office with that new information, and you get it. And voting is not just about voting for candidates on the ballot. Being a registered voter gives you the opportunity to participate in being on a jury, in jury selections. If you think people are being unfairly sentenced and you got the same jurors, it gives you a lot of different things. Everything in this world requires a vote, down to the hair you weave in, the color lipstick you wear, the shoes you wear. Everything required a vote from somebody. So voting is simple in everything. This microphone I'm talking through was a vote. Somebody voted on the issue of what it should be shaped like, look like. Everything requires voting. The car you drive.
I really, I'm so glad. Oh, it at the end of the show, you know, we bring that up that, yeah, the jury duty is pulled from voter registration. And I think certainly if someone has been incarcerated, they know the importance of having a jury of your peers.
Yes.
And, you know, that alone, even if you didn't get to pick who our elected officials are, I'm so glad that you mentioned that the importance of jury duty. Mm-hmm. And we've had people from the talk about the importance of juries on our podcasts before and how that is a civic duty.
It's a civic duty. It is. Everything is a civic duty. The buses kids ride, whether they need seat belts in them. Everything requires a vote. And standing in line, we make the deal standing in line. It's not what standing in line. It's what are we standing in line for? Because when this chicken place came out with this sandwich before, people were in lines for off the interstate. And when the certain phones come out with new upgrades, people stand in line, sleep overnight because it's important to them. Voting is even more important. It changes life. It changes the history and trajectory of how we live or how we don't live.
You heard the woman. Thank you so much. That wraps us up for In Legal Terms. Thank you, Pauline Rogers, the REACH Foundation, R-E-C-H. Thank you to Abram Nanny and to Charles Arnold. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening to In Legal Terms on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.